I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is a story that is familiar to most of you as you've read through the New Testament. Mark chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and would you stand with me, please? Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and I'm going to read out loud, and we'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. The Bible says this, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Father, bless us tonight. Help us to be challenged and encouraged, and help us to be a help to many, many people in days to come. Holy Spirit of God, reach down into this place and do something supernatural. Bring some strength to some people in a unique way. We have some very weary people in our midst, people that are hurting, people that are suffering, and people that are building and rebuilding. So I pray, God, that tonight you will help us take the scripture and give us something that will help us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we just faced the hurricane that they called Florence. And though the storm is gone, we're still facing it and the effects thereof. And as it was said earlier, we will for many weeks and months and in some cases years to come. I think you all know this. Originally, it started as a Category 4 storm with 145 mile an hour winds. And what a big storm, 400 miles across. That's why it took it so long. It just sat and kept on pouring rain into the area. Rainfall in some places of over 30 inches. A statistic that I heard today, I think is probably true, 10 trillion gallons of water fell in the Carolinas. That's just unimaginable. It's hard to understand. But I will tell you this, I believe God calmed the storm. It was a Cat 4. It came to us being somewhere between a Category 1 and a Category 2. That's still being debated by everybody. But I can tell you this, I believe God's mercy and God's power was shown on our behalf. If you look at the amount of devastation and flooding and damage that was done with that storm, can you imagine what this area would have been like if it would have come in at a Category 4? I believe God protected us. And I realize there are people in here, I look out and I think, man, I know you've lost and you've suffered, but thank God, no loss of life among our people, no severe injuries among our people, loss of things, but God sure has been good to us. A pastor approached me 2 or 3 days ago. He walked up to me before church service, and he just didn't know what to say to me. He said, "Boy, your area's just getting bombarded." And I told him, I said, "Listen, things are not important. People are. People are." I said, "I don't want any of our people to lose their things." But I said, "I just don't want to lose any of my people." And so God's been good to us. I mean, God's been good to us. I heard two fellas wanting to fuss today, and they were fussing about, was it a Category 1 or a Category 2? And then one man said to me as we were standing there, said, "I don't see how it could have been worse." And I took a step back and I said, "Don't say that when I'm standing nearby, because God could prove to you how much worse." I said, "I think God was good to us." And I'm a firm believer in that. Sunday morning, I will preach on the topic again and give us some practical helps to helping people in our community. And also, don't forget that our website is set up so people can donate to disaster relief. And I think, again, if you've never been to our website, you need to look at it. It's TwinRiversBaptistChurch.com. A lot of helps and things on there. But Sunday morning, we'll preach again, and then we'll actually equip you with some things with which to help. If you were listening as we read Mark chapter 4 there, in verse 37 it said, "And there arose a great storm." The Bible here tells us, and that's where I get tonight's sermon, it's called a great storm. That word great, see, this that they were facing there was not just a storm. It was a great storm. And Jesus and his disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. Again, if you're looking at the scripture there, in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind." So now we see that the wind was blowing, and it was a great wind, not just a little bit of wind, but a great wind. Those that have been through a hurricane, and you've heard that wind, it's eerie. It's an eerie sound. And I hate to say it, but it's scary. It creates a fear. But in this story, it was a great storm that included great wind. Then, if you look on in verse number 37, it says, "And the waters." In other words, now you've got the waves that are coming in, and it's mentioned in verse 37. It says a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. Of course, because our area is near the water, we were dealing with that. We were dealing with storm surge. And so here it's talking about the great wind, a great storm, and the waves. And then it uses these words, and boy, do you understand it if you've been through something like this. In verse 37, it says the waves beat into the ship. And so, when it's just beating, the wind, the weather, if you will, is just beating on everything. You look out and you see the trees, and they're being tossed, and things are being thrown around. What they're going through here sounds familiar. Then, if you look at again at verse number 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm and of wind and waves, and it beat into the ship, so that it was now full." You know what happened? The ship's flooded. The ship is full of water. You do understand. The water is supposed to be on the outside of the ship, not on the inside of the ship. Now it's full. What's that mean? It was flooded. Now, I don't know, but when I was preparing this sermon for tonight, and I was reading through it, I thought, wow, that sounds like a hurricane to me. That sounds like exactly what our area has faced. A great storm, great wind, great amounts of water. We see it beating against the ground and everything there. There's a flooding that goes on. And then Jesus and the disciples are on this ship, and Jesus was asleep during the storm. Matter of fact, it even tells us in verse number 38, says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." And I don't know why God put that in there, but not only is Jesus asleep during the storm, he's got, at my house, we call it our Mimi. Everybody, even the adults at my house, we have our own blanket. I don't know if you have your own blanket at your house, but I've got my own blanket at my house. And Jesus virtually has his Mimi. I mean, he's got his pillow. He's asleep during this storm, and he's got his very own pillow. And they wake him up. From what I understand here, it says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow," and they awake him. In other words, he was out. They had to wake him up. It wasn't the storm that woke him up. You say, why? What was he worried about? But they woke him up. And then they say to him in verse number 39, it says, "And he arose," in verse 38, it says, "He was asleep on his pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so they wake him up and say, "Jesus, don't you care? We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're going down." And he got up, and then the Bible tells us that in verse number 40, it says, "And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So what happens here is Jesus ends up rebuking the wind, and it says in verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So Jesus said to the wind, "Knock it off," and it stopped. He said to the sea, "Stop," and it ceased. And so, you know, they, of course, were worried about the flooding because the boat was full, the Bible said, but this boat makes it to land, and you never hear anything else about flooding. So it didn't go down, which means he cared for the flooding, he cared for the wind, he cared for the sea, he cared for all of it. And he does get on his disciples a little bit. I think they probably expressed some type of poor behavior during the storm because he said, "You're so fearful and no faith." So he gets on them some. And then, I love this, he says in verse number, it says in verse number 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I got to tell you what, when I was studying this and thinking about it and praying about it, I believe there is kind of an assumed comparison here. If you look, the Bible says they feared the great storm. But the result of this whole process, then it says they feared God exceedingly. So they feared the storm. They went through the process. And on the other end, after God did his miracle, Jesus did his miracle, they said, "We thought we were afraid of the storm. Here's the one that you ought to fear, the God of the storm." And I thought that was very unique. They only feared the storm. At the end, they greatly feared the great God of the storm. Now, we locally watched God calm our storm. Hey, and just like in this story, the floods will recede. The wind finally stopped. The waves, the threat went back to normal. I believe that God did a work. Now, I'm going to show you a couple things about the storm. Let's let it help us. Let's learn some biblical lessons about the hurricane called Florence. Well, and we can compare them maybe on a parallel to the storms of life. For instance, do you realize that, number one, Jesus also went through the storm? In this story, Jesus went through the storm. It said there in Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, it says this, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, that he there is Jesus. He, in this story, is in the storm as a man, just like everybody else. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Storms are just a part of life. They're just a part of life. I don't want to scare you. This is not your last storm. You say, "Well, I'll go to Nebraska." The storm there then will be with snowballs. I don't care where you go, there will be storms. And it's just a part of life. Even Jesus, do you understand? He was on this ship. He was the God-man, but the man part of him was as alive as a God part of him. And he is going through a storm. So I think what I'm trying to tell you is, folks, everybody faces storms. Even God himself, when he came to be born in a body and was named Jesus Christ, he went through a storm. Everybody goes through storms. Nobody escapes the storms of life. Nobody escapes the physical storms of life. They're all going to face it. I grew up in a little part, and this a long time ago, I grew up in a part of Indiana where we had tornadoes constantly. We were in what was called the Missinawa Valley, and everything was just right, and there were just constant tornadoes. So I want you to understand, and there are different people. I was thinking about Brother Earl and Brother Pine. They spent time in Alaska. I'm going to promise you, there's some of you, if you would understand the kinds of weather and, the, if you will, the storms that you face, Cynthia could tell you. If you go to the Philippines, let me tell you, when the flood seasons come in the Philippines, they face 10 times what we're facing on a regular basis. Folks, it does not matter where you go. A friend called me from Hawaii and there was a storm that was going over Maui. You say, I'll escape to Hawaii. You can't escape the storms. I'm sorry. That place does not exist. You say, well, then what do? We learn how to go through the storms. You just learn how to go through the storms. Then it's not just a physical storm, you know, Florence or Katrina. The Democrats think the newest storm should be called Donald. But, you know, Jesus faced the storm of Calvary. I really want you to stop and think about it. And then Jesus came from a perfect heaven to come to a sin-cursed world. What a storm. He went to Calvary. What a storm. He faced a storm. And so, if I may, I want everybody here to know, even Jesus went through a storm. Secondly, I want you to notice this. Jesus went through the storm with them. With them. In Mark 4:35 it says, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So they did not go through this storm alone. The disciples had Jesus with them. Can I tell you all something? We say it all the time. We refer to it all the time. We talk about it to others all the time. God lives in me. Do you know that He was in you during the storm? You say, yeah, but it wasn't as recognizable when the wind was blowing. Yeah, but He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think one of the reasons why God chose that we be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption, so that when the storms of life come, we have that comfort and that truth of knowing He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. He went through the storm with them. So Jesus went through a storm like everybody else, but wait a minute, He went through the storm with them. They did not face the storm alone. You did not. Nobody faced the storm alone. They had, and you know what? They didn't only have Jesus with them in the storm. They had their Christian brothers and sisters. And when you go through the storms of life, thank God for the family of God. I realize there are some people out there when you were saying God will protect us, and you were encouraging yourself while you were encouraging others. There are some people out there that didn't understand what you were saying. It didn't make sense to them how you could be encouraging during the storm. But let me tell you something. Your Christian family understands it. Your Christian family understands that encouragement. Your Christian family understands that faith in God. So, number one, Jesus went through the storm, because everybody goes through storms. Number two, Jesus went through the storm with them, so they didn't go through by themselves. Number three, the fear of the storm revealed some of their weaknesses. And that's okay, they're human. But in Mark chapter 4, verse number 40, this storm, it brought to surface some weaknesses in their Christian life. It says this, He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now I want to point something out. He said, why are ye so fearful? He didn't just say, why are you fearful? So I've got a feeling that there was a certain level of fear that was okay. But he said, why are you so fearful? You know, when you're thirsty, you say, I'm thirsty. But when you're really thirsty, you say, I'm so thirsty. And I've got a feeling that Jesus understood a certain level of fear, but I think somehow their fear was out of control, because they were so fearful. You say, why do you say that? Because whoever woke him up said, don't you care, we're all going to die. We're going down. It's all over. This is it. I think he wanted to go, calm down. They were so fearful. Now, so the storm revealed a little bit of weakness here. Not only that, it says, have ye no faith? Now the word no, couldn't he have said, don't you have faith? But he said, you have no faith. Really, I don't know how they were expressing themselves in his presence, but do you see it's so fearful and no faith? Somebody must have, they might have really been out of control and lost their faith in God, and they might have been acting like the heathen, getting drunk and high and everything else. I don't know what they did, but somehow some of their weaknesses surfaced. Let me tell you something. Learn yourself when you go through storms. Watch yourself. And work on those weaknesses. If it's a physical storm like a hurricane, watch how you handle yourself. Watch how you handle other people. And grow from it. And if you go through a storm again someday, learn from it. And next time you'll know some things to do that you didn't know the last time. And maybe you'll treat people a little bit differently this time than you did last time. And when you go through the storms, the spiritual storms of life, learn from it. But I believe the fear of the storm revealed some of their weaknesses. And number four, I want you to know that according to this passage of Scripture, peace was available in the storm, and peace was available after the storm. It says in Mark 4:39, it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So, there is peace available during a storm. Jesus had it all. He had it all handled. Now, not FEMA, but Jesus would make sure things got handled. I'm not FEMA's enemy. Whatever they can do to help people, fine. But I am going to tell you, I'm grateful for Jesus, and Jesus is the one that controlled the storm, and everything that, whether FEMA realizes or not, everything that FEMA passes out, God made it. And so, but thank God, Jesus had it handled, because Jesus was with them. So there was peace available in and after that storm, and God protected His children. I'm amazed at how good the devil is at psyching us out. You ever had the devil really work overtime on you until you're just panicked and not thinking in a good solid way? The devil's got this way of getting us emotionally on the run and just trying to beat the spiritual sense out of you. I call it psyching you out. And you have one of those days where you say, I can't make it, I can't take it, I can't take anymore. And then you finally fall asleep, you wake up the next morning and you say, oh, I took it, I made it, I guess I can take some more. But yesterday, there's no way. The devil, he works on us that way. And that's the way he is. Did you know the peace that God makes available to you and I during a storm or even after a storm, Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee. He's not talking about you and I and our, what you might call, our personal human peace. He said, my peace I give unto thee. What kind of peace did Jesus have? He had his pillow and was asleep. That's what kind of peace he had. And so he said, I want to offer you my peace. And so he makes peace available during a storm. Let me go on, number five. Their faith could be, and I think should be, strengthened as a result of what they had been through. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 40, it says this, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? So I think Jesus wanted their faith to grow. Jesus, and always remember this, Jesus did not allow a storm to break them. He allowed a storm to make them. As you go through the storm and the process, both the process of the storm and the process after the storm, grow because of it. Let your faith in God grow. Let your belief in God grow. Let people see that happen. Now, I believe this also. I'm going to read to you one chapter later In Mark chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says this: "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Now, I want you to understand something. They went through this storm, they landed, and it says here that they get back on the ship and they go back to the other side. I'm going to guess their faith had grown. Look, you ever heard someone say, if you fall off the bicycle, you know what you got to do? You got to get back on it and ride again. Now look, folks, you get knocked down, get up. Get up. Don't lay there. Get up. Fix whatever needs to be fixed. Let's keep moving forward. There's no indication that when they got back on that ship 20 verses later, that Jesus was saying to the disciples, "Come on, guys, you got to get on. There's only one way to get back to the other side." "Well, I'm not getting back on that boat. I am not getting back on that boat." "No, you guys, you got to get back on the boat." I'm not. I'm waiting until Earl can come get me in his airplane. I'm not getting back on the boat. I'm not getting on the ship." No, the Bible just says 20 verses later, they got on the ship and went back to the other side. So I believe they went through a storm and their faith was challenged, but somewhere along the way, they let that storm strengthen their faith. They got back on the same ship, went back across the same body of water, and you don't see any hesitation this time. So they grew because of it. Then, there's one little point that I want to make and we'll be done. They use the experience then, and it gathered people, it brought people to Jesus Christ. Again, let me read to you from Mark chapter 5, verse number 21. Verse 21, the Bible says this. This is 20 verses after this great storm. In verse 21 it says, "When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." So here's what happened. They went through this great storm. Somehow, God used it. And I am going to promise you, the guys that went through the storm, the guys that heard Jesus say to the wind, "Stop," said to the waves, "Cease," said to the flood, "Recede," they watched it happen. They feared the storm, but they greatly feared the great God of the universe. And this drew a crowd to Jesus Christ. Do you know, if I understand it correctly, one of the first people that got saved right after this storm was a maniac of Gadara? Mark chapter 5 is his salvation experience. What had happened? Everybody with Jesus just going through a storm. Next thing you know, people are coming to Christ. Even some of the hard cases. Say, who are the hard cases? Maniac of Gadara. Then you find out a great multitude is gathered unto him. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you what. If I was with a guy on a ship that could stand up and tell the waves to stop and the wind to stop and the flood to stop and take a flooding ship to shore, save the maniac of Gadara, I'd be going around telling everybody, you got to meet this guy. I mean, you got to see. Come see the one that spared me. Come see the one that saved me. Come see the one that loved me. Come see the one that the wind obeys. Come see the one that the waves obey. Come see the one that's in charge of it all. And people started gathering. Why? They feared God exceedingly. Now, church, you know what we need to do? We need to bring people to the Savior through it all. The storm gets their attention. We that grow in faith, because of the storm, we get to be a part of the harvest that could come by those who have heard about the God of the storm. So, when I look through this passage of Scripture, I realize this. Jesus went through a storm, because everybody does. I realize that He goes through the storm with us. I realize that the storm can reveal weaknesses so we can work on those weaknesses. I realize that there is peace available in and after the storm. I found that our faith is to be strengthened because of the difficulties in life. And then I find that if we will use the experience properly, we could gather people unto the Savior. For some of you, this is your opportunity to witness and get somebody saved or get somebody in church. Go love on some people that have gone through a tough time and try to get them to the Lord. I think it was a great storm. And what a parallel and what a lesson that can be learned from that storm compared to the storm that our area has gone through. And folks, it's not just us. There are people all over our state. There are people in South Carolina that have gone through difficult times. But, you know, and I believe, I thank God for humanitarian aid. But listen, how about we go feed and clothe and help people both physically and spiritually? Boy, that's what it's all about. Let's use the opportunity to help people. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Take a look at the scripture. Look at the parallel between this story and maybe even what you've faced in the last week and a half of your life. And let it encourage you and let yourself grow by it. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I believe that I can see how the scripture even describes some of what we went through with the storm. And I can see how I can grow by it. And I can see that how that God knows what's going on. God has a purpose in all this. And it's not accidental. I mean, look, if God can describe all of that all the way back then, and it matches so carefully to the last 7 or 8 days in this area, let me tell you, I'm going to guess God's involved. I'm going to guess God knows what He's doing. Let's let God get out of it in this day what they benefited in that day. People were reached. People were encouraged. People were helped. People were strengthened because of a storm. Who here would say, Pastor, I think God has spoken to my heart. I can see it. I can see it in the Scripture. God's spoken to me in some way with the Scripture this evening. Would you let God see your hand? And we're going to have an altar call. You may put your hands down. Could I recommend something? Maybe you ought to come and take a moment on your knees. Some of you ought to thank the Lord for His mercy and His watch care. Some of you might need to come be praying for some people. You got some family. You got some loved ones. You got some people going through some pretty tough times. Maybe you just come down here and pray for them for a second. I'd love to see us use the altar tonight. Let's pray for our area. Let's pray that we get to help a lot of people. But we're going to have an altar call. If you can't come to the altar, I understand. You can pray right there if you need to kneel right there where you're at. And some can't even do that. But let's get a hold of God for a few minutes and let's ask God to get involved in this thing so He gets out of it what He wants.